Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The link will be posted in the chat. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Stephanie L., a compulsive overeater from California.
Well, hi, everyone. My name is Stephanie L. I am, by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, a recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you. I don't know if I've been here before, but I actually thought it was going to be a smaller meeting. So now I'm feeling just a little bit nervous, but I do want to thank you guys for allowing me to be here today. I want to just get some numbers out of the way. I've been in OA for a little over 20 years. And I wish I could say, hey, I got 20 years of continuous abstinence and recovery. And that's not my story. It's just not. I've been here 20 years. And this last week, and this is it is really a miracle. This last week on January 27th, was graced with 5 years of recovery. And for a compulsive overeater like me, that is nothing short of a miracle. Because do the math. I was here for 15 years, right? Had some periods of abstinence, had some time of being recovered, I think. But when I look back on it now, like, I don't know if I really ever understood what this recovery really entails. And so I do want to show, I think it's so important to show some pictures. So I'm going to share my screen real, oh, that's not sharing the screen. Just one second. I'll get there. Okay. There we go. Can you guys see that? Okay. I'm going to share my screen. So like I said, you know, I've been here, for a minute, a couple of decades. And my most recent story is really about relapse. And I always like to start with these pictures, right? Because this was, oh gosh, 7 years ago. In that picture on the left, that was my first day of school. One of the gifts that I got from this program was the realization that I needed to do something different with my life, right? It was like really this gift of knowing that my career, what my profession had been, was not what I wanted to continue to do. And so I had to go back to school. And that is me on my first day of school with my grandson representing. If you would have told me that day that I was going to be head first in the food 3 months later, I would never have believed you, ever. Have believed you. Okay. But here's the insanity of this disease and my experience with it. Oh, and by the way, let me mention, I've gained and lost 100. I'm a 100-pounder. I've gained and lost 100 pounds multiple times before OA and in OA. Okay. So if you're sitting here and you've been around a while and you're in relapse, and you know, you're not believing that this is going to work for you, that is exactly where I was 5 years ago. What happened there is life got really big, things got busy. I'm in school, I have this big life, I'm working, I take care of this little boy, and all of the things that I was doing to stay connected with God, I just really stopped doing. Oh, and by the way, I didn't get that piece of it. Like, I never really understood that I have a spiritual sickness that requires a spiritual solution. Like, I would be that person walking around with the big book going, this big book's saving my life, and these steps are saving my life. Well, here's what I know today. This big book outlines a program of recovery and these 12 steps that get me connected to power, because I don't have power. Like, even today, there is no more power in me today than there was in me 5 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago. There's not. But today I have, these 12 steps that show me how to connect with this God of my understanding. I choose to call this power God, whatever you choose to call it, but I choose to call this power God. But like, everything I do today is to stay connected and to grow and enlarge my spiritual life, because I desperately need this power. Because here's the thing, the person in that second picture, that 3 years later, graduation day, right? Same little boy, right? I was over 100 pounds heavier, and I'm smiling, but I am dying inside. And I'm gonna stop sharing for a second. Let's see, let me hit escape, and then can I stop share? How do I stop sharing? There's got to be a way to stop sharing. Hold on, 1 second. I'm gonna figure this out. Where is it? Why am I not able to do this? Let's see. Are you guys still seeing the picture?
Yeah, we are. Can you see any Zoom controls?
I do, but it's, oh, duh. I guess it would
Yeah.
be the little red button that says stop sharing.
Yep.
Story of my life. I need help. Even in not stopping the share of my pictures on Zoom, I need someone to help me do it, right? So I have been a compulsive overeater. Like, I can't remember a time when I could eat like other people. And that's like the step one thing that I don't think I've ever really got until this last relapse. Right, the big book tells me that I'm in the doctor opinion, it tells me that I am a distinct entity. I read that a million times, but I don't think I ever got it. Right, I am different than other people. When I put certain foods into my body, or when I eat quantity of foods, I can't stop. And maybe I can stop for a day, or maybe I can stop for a few days, but I can't stay stopped. And this is a progressive disease. Because, like I mentioned, I lost 100 pounds once before coming to OA, and I've lost 20 here and 50 there. And, like, I was a serial dieter because I was desperately trying. I thought losing weight was the answer to all my problems. And that's kind of why I came to OA, because I couldn't even diet anymore. Losing the weight and being 100 pounds overweight wasn't my problem. It's not my problem. My problem is I like can't stop once I start. And I have to believe, like, there is the step one thing, right? I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. And if I don't truly believe that I'm powerless, if I start to believe, is this really that bad? It's been a while. Maybe it'll be different this time. Or I can have just one. It'll be okay. The problem is the disease talks to me in my own voice, right? And I can't differentiate the true from the false. If I don't have this power, if I'm not connected with this higher power, I'm lost, because I believe the lies that are being told to me in my own voice. Right. And I'll tell you, maybe I did get there at one point, but it's like it eroded. Maybe I did believe I'm powerless, and maybe unmanageable, maybe. But at some point, I stopped believing that that was the case. And here's what I know today. I am never not going to be a compulsive overeater. I am never not going to be powerless over this disease. And if I don't stay connected to you, and if I don't put my hand out and help other compulsive overeaters, I'm screwed. Because I have this problem. I have, I have like one of my best friends always says, like, I didn't get the manual for life. And I didn't get the manual for life. Because here's the thing, food is not my problem, it is my solution to not knowing how to live life. And I was talking to someone earlier, and it's like, and here's the thing, like, circumstances are never the reason that I shove food in my mouth. I shove food in my mouth because I think it's the solution to whatever is happening around me. And it's a progressive disease. And whereas it maybe at some point it was okay, it's kind of like, it's kind of like drug addiction. And you always hear people looking for that, that first high, right? Maybe I get that feeling of peace and calm for maybe 30 seconds, maybe a minute. And then it's like, oh my God, what am I doing? What have I done again? Because I can't stop. And towards the end of that 2 year relapse, I was eating against my will. Like, being 100 pounds overweight in my mid 50s is a lot different than in my 20s or my 30s. I could barely walk down the street. It was during COVID, so I wasn't even leaving the house, so I wasn't really moving much. My hips hurt, my back hurt, I was having heart arrhythmia, I was suicidal. Like, I would go to bed at night, and my husband reminded me one day, like, I came to bed one night at 3 in the morning and said, "Where's the gun? I don't want to live. I can't live like this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore." And I'm crying as I'm shoving food in my mouth, and I can't stop. If that's not powerlessness, and if that voice comes back and says, "It'll be okay. Just you deserve it. You're tired. It's been a long day." Working with other compulsive overeaters and talking to newcomers reminds me, it's never going to be okay to turn to the food because it always ends up that way. And then there's that second half of step one that not only is, am I dying in the food because I'm powerless and can't stop, but that second half is that my life is unmanageable. Because here's the thing, right? So my husband's in this program. He was in relapse at the time too. In fact, we met in OA. We got married in OA. We were the OA couple. That worked out real well. Because we've both been in periods of relapse and recovery at different times. That is not a happy situation. I'm in one corner of the house, he's in the other corner of the house. We don't eat together, right? And so my marriage is failing. We're not communicating. My kids, I have three adult daughters, I'm not answering the phone. I have this big picture window in one of the rooms that I would binge in. And I would sit there with all these binge foods, shoving food in my mouth, looking out the window, going, "What is it like out there?" Because a big part of me didn't want to be out, didn't want to be here anymore. I'm working, but I'm not really giving them, I'm not earning a paycheck. And I worked in a treatment center during that time. So all day long, I'm talking to people about the 12 steps and recovery and addiction, and then I'm hiding in the pantry eating their food, shoving their food in my mouth. Talk about demoralization, right? So that step one, that crux of my problem, it's like the only step I have to do perfectly is step one. I have to, in my heart of hearts, and it's not an intellectual exercise because you guys, I could quote the big book. I could quote passages out of the big book while shoving food in my mouth. Knowledge isn't the solution. Like information isn't the solution. Yes, I need to have the right information out of this book about how to work these steps, but it's transformation. It needs to go from my head to my heart. Because here's the other thing. Sponsors were telling me, I'm a great sponsor picker, man. I've had the best sponsors. And I'd say, "I want to stop. I desperately want to stop. I'll do whatever you say." And every time I said that, I meant it. I never lied saying that. But the problem was I couldn't stop. I couldn't. And Sometimes I'd hear things like, well, you don't want it enough, or you haven't hit a bottom. Well, like, what was a bottom going to look like? I want to die. I'm eating against my will. I'm completely isolated and alone. And it's so dark. It's like being in a jail cell and the door is open, but I can't get out. Because I had experienced freedom before. I couldn't get out. So when people were telling me that, it was like, so here's what happened. I always go to the OA birthday party every year. That year, because I live in LA, or no, I don't live in LA, I live in Orange County, but it's in LA, it's not far. And it was on Zoom that year because of COVID. And I saw on Facebook some, there was a post about the birthday party. I don't know what got into me. I know this was God putting out God's search and rescue mission for me. I paid the $30. I went on Zoom, like, oh, there's a relapse workshop. Might as well. Camera off, binging cookie. I don't know if I can say foods, but there's crumbs all over my laptop. My camera's off. And there's this woman, and her eyes are shining. And they're shining bright, and she's got red lipstick on. And she says, you can have all the desire in the world and not the needed power. And she stopped me in my tracks. I was like, and I'm sure I've heard that before. I'm sure I heard that before, but I never heard it like I heard it in that moment. And, it's a perfect example of how we carry this message because. This higher power's light was shining through this woman. And there was this brief second of, like, I want what she has. I don't want to do this anymore. Maybe I could have, maybe. At the same time, the disease was like, ah, you're going to eat again. What's the use? Why even try? Right. Well, I called her and she called me back. And she agreed to work with me. And, I was willing to do whatever that woman said because what I was doing wasn't working. There was this place of getting to this place of surrender, like, okay. And I remember, like, she told me to spend 30 minutes that next morning in prayer and meditation. I'm like, doesn't she know I'm busy? I'm in grad school. I work. I take care of this. 3-year-old little boy at night. I'm a really busy person. But I shut my mouth and I said, okay. And here's the other thing. I was pissed off at this God of my understanding. I didn't want to spend time. I was just like, I don't know if you exist. And this was my first prayer, like a good little girl. I turned my timer on for 30 minutes. I sat in a chair. I had all this spiritual stuff around me. And it was like, I don't even want to look at you. I can't even talk to you. I don't even know if you exist. You screwed me. You put 100 pounds back on my body. I want to die. I don't want to live anybody. I'm pissed. But here's the thing. Like, that was the first honest conversation I think I have ever had with God. And believe me, there were a lot of F words in there. And like, I was like, it was real. I was just like, F you. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you are. I don't know why you are, but I was told to sit here and I don't want to die and I don't know what to do. And I'm visual. So somehow I'm picturing a park bench. I'm over here. God is over there. I can't look at you. I can't look at you. I did what I was told. I sat there for 30 minutes. Right? There were all these acts of being willing to go to any lengths that even today, when I do what I don't want to do, especially when I do what I don't want to do, like things shift inside of me. Like if I'm mean to my husband and I make an amends, something shifts inside of me. How does that work? Why does that work? I don't know, but I know that I don't know how to live this life, right? Like I said, I need help with Zoom to to stop sharing my screen. And I was never willing to admit I needed help because I couldn't show weakness. I thought If I showed weakness, that made me less than. And here's the thing, the more vulnerability I show and the more weakness, like I acknowledge and the need for help and the need for power, the more I'm given. It is in my weakness that I'm given strength. I never really believed that before because I wasn't raised to believe that. I was raised to believe you put your big girl pants on, you work hard, good things are going to happen. And it's kind of just the opposite here. It's kind of like, I can't do this. I need help. Please help me. So, and then she said to me, once we get to step two, you're going to start to feel the needed power. I'm like, okay. I don't know. I can't even look at God, but I'm talking to God. And that first week, I could barely, like, I was holding on, like I couldn't even sleep at night because my body was so used to binging and I could barely sleep. But I held on. And every day this crazy thing happened. I started to build a relationship with this power. And she was right. By the time we got to step two, something shifted. I started to feel the needed power. The obsession was lifted and it has not returned. Like, do I have food thoughts every so often? Sure, I'm never going to not be a compulsive overeater, right? But the obsession that, like, I can't fight that on my own. I need power, right? And step two is maybe, just maybe, there is a power who can help me. Maybe, just maybe. I didn't even need to be convinced. If for me, it was maybe, just maybe, right? And then, if I need this power in step three, it's like, okay, now I need to turn my will and my life over to this power. Well, that was another one. Like, how do I do that? Because I have spent a lifetime being selfish and trying to run the show and controlling, even so much, even right now, as I came up here to speak, I gave my husband specific instructions on how to roast the Brussels sprouts in the air fryer. Like, he can't do it on his own without me. And when I go down there, I'm hoping he followed my direction. What? So, like, this work is every day, every minute, right? But step three is really like, can I just relinquish control to this power who has a plan for me? Right? I don't have to control the world, I don't have to hold on so tightly. And by the way, when I'm telling everyone how to do it and what to do, and I'm trying to like be the director and the actor, I'm pissing everyone off. Who wants to be around someone like that? I don't. Because when someone does that to me, I'm like, huh? Right? But that's my MO. And then in step four, I had to look at these resentments. And this anger, all of these things that block me from God, the fear, and fear has been a big thing for me lately. My mother, was diagnosed with recurrent breast cancer, and we went through a really scary couple weeks, and luckily it hasn't spread. But let me tell you what I learned from all of you, and I learned from working these steps. God is the answer. I like praying and asking God for help and show me who you would have me be. Show me how to be a good daughter. Show me how to be a good mother. Show me how to be of service and not make this about me. Because in all my selfishness, I want to make it about me. Oh my God, what if I lose my mother? Oh my God, what will life be like? And it was like, no, what is it like for my mother? Right? And so I get to see, and the whole thing with a fourth step and a fifth step, it's not listing all these atrocities that people have done to me. It's seeing my part in these resentments and in my fear, seeing how I started off, I get it going. And then I'm like, how dare you? I say something and then someone retaliates. I'm like, how dare you treat me this way? And there's so much freedom. And seeing my part, because I love to be a victim. And seeing my part, I'm not a victim. I can't change other people, but I can change, and God can change how I show up and how I react. Because that's who I want to be today. I want to be, you know, like I want to be who God would have me be to these people I love. I want to be a woman who can look in the mirror and who has integrity and be who God would have me be, you know? And that's where I get to look at that. I got to look at that in step 6 and 7. Selfishness, you know, my ego, my need to control, you know, all of this, like that's the work. I was always told step 6 and 7 are two paragraphs in the book, and you know, you just read these two paragraphs and then, you know, you can't do anything about it. God will do it when God will take it, when God will take it. Well, this time around, my sponsor had me do some work and really look at these character defects and really look at how they manifest in my life and look at how I show up in them. Because while I'm powerless over food, I'm not powerless how I treat other people. I'm not. And that was a big deal for me to see. Now, it's not about like beating myself up and oh my gosh, because that's another thing, like that spiritual pride. I should be, you know, like my friend says, I should be weller than this. I shouldn't be showing up this way. Well, guess what? I'm human and I'm never going to rise above being a human being. I'm flawed. And every time I screw up, I'm reminded of how much I need this God of my understanding. That is the solution. I got to make amends and clean things up in 8 and 9. And then, you know, I want to talk about 10, 11, and 12 because that's the work. I do, you know, in step 10, really, you know, on a daily basis, looking at when I feel resentful or afraid, you know, and doing an on-the-spot inventory. And I did a lot of those 10 steps over these last couple of weeks on fear with my mom. And then in step 11, like growing and enlarging this spiritual connection. Because if I don't do that, I'm gonna die. And then, you know, throughout the day praying, and at the end of the day, do it. I mean, they're like it's all about connecting with power. And then step 12, the service and self-sacrifice for others, because now I get to see other people get better. I get to watch the miracle unfold in their life. It's really quite amazing that I get to be part of that. And I get to be part of a fellowship. And I am going to actually try and share my screen again. So let's see if it works. So there are pictures of me during that relapse, but I really want to get here. So this is life today. On the left, that's me and my husband at my middle daughter's or my youngest daughter's wedding. That middle picture, man, my brother and I didn't speak for 2 years. 2 years. He said one thing to me in the car on the way to the airport when I was in relapse, and I held on to that resentment and would not speak to him. And through this process, I got to repair the relationship. He asked to take that picture with me. And that fellowship that we crave, this picture on the left is my beautiful sponsor. That picture in the middle are like people who are so freaking important to me that I have been walking this walk with forever. A fellow I sponsor. And then most recently at the OA birthday party, these beautiful women that I walk this path with, and then another beautiful sponsee that I get to watch this miracle unfold in. And here's what I want to say in these last 2 minutes. Life is very different today. I live one day at a time, free, right? I don't have to worry about going places. I don't have that overwhelming desire or obsession to compulsively overeat today. But here's what I know. And on the bottom of page 14 and 15 in Bill's story, it says, and here's the warning for if an alcoholic or for us, a compulsive overeater failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life, right? So it's telling us I have to keep building this relationship with power. And how do I do this? Through work and self-sacrifice for others. That's how I do it. Doing things I don't want to do, spending time with sponsees, taking time out of a Sunday to come and hang out with you guys. I don't always want to do this stuff, but it's telling me that this is how I grow in this relationship with this power. And it says, if I don't do this, I'm not going to survive the certain, not if, because life is going to be lifey. I won't survive these certain trials and low spots ahead. Because you know what? There is a recipe for getting through these tough times. Find someone to help through service and self-sacrifice, right? And then trust God. Because it says, if I don't do this, I'm going to drink or I'm going to eat, and then I will surely die. And that was my experience. Bill W. suffered from severe depression. And on that same page, he says, when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. It is a design for living that works in rough going. It works. But you know what? Just sitting in the chair and not getting a sponsor and working these steps, that doesn't work. So if you're struggling or you're new, and I'll finish with this, get a sponsor, work these steps, find a power because it works. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. That was amazing.